Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon is the penitential psalm that we read together earlier. Depending upon which study you consult, at any given time there are between 9 and 14 million people in the United States who are suffering from depression. That's over 6% of our population. One in four women and one in eight men will suffer from and be diagnosed with depression sometime during their life. Even the most upbeat of people are not immune from this sickness. Certainly, we have even seen this ourselves in a small way in the melancholy and sadness that these past 3 months of snow-covered ground have brought into our midst. As we read the words of the psalmist from the 102nd Psalm, we get the distinct impression that he too was one who suffered from this sickness, who suffered from depression. His words don't exactly lift our spirits or encourage us for the days that lie ahead. He says, "My days pass away like smoke. My bones burn like a furnace. My heart is struck down like grass and has withered. I forget to eat my bread. Because of my loud groaning, my bones cling to my flesh. I am like a desert owl of the wilderness, like an owl of the waste places. I lie awake. I am like a lonely sparrow on the housetop. All the day my enemies taunt me. Those who deride me use my name for a curse. When I eat ashes like bread and mingle tears with my drink, because of your indignation and anger, for you have taken me up and thrown me down. My days are like an evening shadow. I wither away like grass." What heavy, burdensome words from this troubled soul. Of course, depression is no laughing matter. There are many good medications and treatments that are available to help those who suffer with this condition. But the psalmist's condition and the condition of sinful man before God is not due to a chemical imbalance in the brain. It doesn't exist because of a lack of exercise or sunlight or optimism. Rather, it is due to his knowledge of his sin and his knowledge of God's law. The psalmist must not have been a very young man. It certainly seems as though the younger a person is, the less time that they have been alive, the less they know about misery and sickness, about burdens and depression. Little children don't often struggle with depression as adults do. But who among the grown-ups could not justly complain that his past days have vanished like grass and that he has withered away with them? Yet if that is all that we take away from this psalm, then we are missing the point. To get the complete and whole picture, we must see that this psalm, like many of the other psalms in the Psalter, is actually a prayer. It begins with those words. "Hear my prayer, O Lord. Let my cry come to you. Do not hide your face from me in the day of my distress. Incline your ear to me. Answer me speedily in the day when I call to you." Luther says here that no one can pray this prayer except one who is poor in spirit and who has begun to loathe the vanity of this world and the goods of the flesh, and has begun to long for spiritual blessings. That's quite a statement that he makes. In other words, one without faith in Jesus as a merciful Savior simply cannot pray this prayer, because they would be too terrified by their sins to ask the Almighty God to show his face to them, to incline his ear to listen to their cry for mercy. One who is anxious and troubled in spirit reviews his evils and his past life. He looks inside at his sin-blackened heart and is violently horrified about being in the presence of the holy God. Even the days that are left to him on this earth seem as though they have already passed and have come to naught. The psalmist certainly knows this burden of sin, as well as the burden of misery and death that sin brings. He knows that he is not worthy to receive God's blessings. But by faith in the promise of the Savior and by belief in a merciful God, he cries out with a troubled spirit and with a repentant heart. He confesses his sins to his Father. He confesses his frailty and his sickness. He pours out his complaint, believing that his Lord will hear and answer him. It may be true that the longer a person has lived on this earth, the more able they are to recognize their failures, and the more they know about misery and suffering. But it is even more true that the longer a person lives in the promises and the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, the more they know about eternal joy and blessing. This entire psalm, this prayer, is a complaint of a grieving soul about old age and loneliness and the burden of sin. But the psalmist isn't ready to lie down in the dust of the earth and give up living. He's just sick and tired of living his life. And he longs to live the perfect life that is in Jesus Christ, his Lord. My days are like an evening shadow. I wither away like grass. Because I have sinned and done evil, my life is full of misery and suffering. It ends in vanity and death. My days come to nothing. My name disappears. But you, O Lord, are enthroned forever. You, O Lord, are remembered throughout all generations. You, O Lord, will arise and have pity on Zion, for it is the time to favor her. The appointed time has come. Your servants hold her stones dear and have pity on her dust. Nations will fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth will fear your glory. For the Lord builds up Zion. He appears in his glory. He regards the prayer of the destitute and does not despise their prayer. Let this be recorded for a generation to come, so that people yet to be created may praise the Lord, that he looked down from his holy height. From heaven the Lord looked at the earth to hear the groans of the prisoners and to set free those who were doomed to die, that they may declare in Zion the name of the Lord and in Jerusalem his praise, when peoples gather together and kingdoms to worship the Lord. Yes. He has broken my strength in mid-course. He has shortened my days. O my God, I say, take me not away in the midst of my days, you whose years endure throughout all generations. Of old you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will wear out like a garment. You will change them like a robe, but they will pass away. You are the same. Your years have no end. Can you see the emotion that is in this prayer of the psalmist? Can you see how he believes that the Lord will come and deliver him from his misery, from his sin, from his sickness, and from the death that awaits him? This prayer is a plea for mercy and life. It isn't suggesting that we who are tired and depressed and in despair because of our sins should be seeking our physical death. Rather, this psalm, like so many other places in Scripture, teaches us that we are to seek and desire real life, Jesus' life, perfect life, without sin, without pain, without suffering, without toothaches and broken bones and creaky joints, without failing eyesight, without colds and sicknesses and diseases and cancers, without broken relationships, without false teachings, without death. As we look at our lives filled with sin and sorrow, we can't help but become depressed and anxious at what we see. Yet there is a life to come that is far better than this one. O Lord, who laid the foundation of the earth and scattered the stars in the heavens, who clothes in splendor the grass of the fields that is here today and tomorrow thrown into the fire, who is the same from generation to generation, and whose name endures forever and ever, hear my prayer and come to me, since I cannot come to you. I am sick of my life, and I desire your life. Come, you who are eternal, and who abides forever, and impart to me something of your life, which never ends. And he has. He has looked down from his holy height. From heaven, the Lord looked at the earth to hear the groans of the prisoners and to set free those who were doomed to die. And he has sent forth his Son. We could not go to him. In our sin, we couldn't desire him or even know where to begin looking for him. We would not have any idea that he was going to be merciful to us. But he assumed a body. He took on our humanity. He broke forth from the womb of his mother and destroyed the devil and death and our sin and redeemed his fallen creation. With his precious body and blood, he opened the kingdom of heaven to all who believe in him. He has taken away our misery and given us happiness. Instead of tears of bitterness, we now weep tears of joy for what lies ahead. Instead of death, he has given us life, and he has given it to us abundantly. Yes, there are many things to be depressed about in this life. Pain and suffering and misery still cling to our bones, and our flesh continues to waste away. But God, in his mercy, has shown us our condition. He has turned us in repentance. And by his Holy Spirit, through the Word, he has pointed us to our Savior, Jesus Christ. Luther also acknowledged that these struggles of life would remain and continue. But then he says, when these struggles come, I will hope in him. I will cry to him. I will plead with him all the more. That is faith. Luther knows what the psalmist knew, what you know, and what your children are learning. The Lord regards the prayer of the destitute. A broken and contrite heart God will not despise. The prayer of the psalmist and all of Holy Scripture is written in order that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that by believing in him, you might have life in his name. Your Lord has abundantly blessed you with his life. He promises to keep you in all your ways. He has lifted his face to shine upon you. He has bent down low with his ear to hear your cries for mercy. And he has given you his peace. Teach us, O Lord, to number our days and to long for the eternal life that is ours in Jesus Christ. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guards and keeps your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.